من الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Monday the 2nd of October 2000, we are in Ayatul Kursi, and after studying the opening part of Ayatul Kursi, which was talking about Tawheed, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. Now you will notice that after the first part that talks about Allah's Tawheed and His power, and that He is Hay and Qayyum, He is alive and He is in control of everything, it then moves on to what we will start discussing today, and that is Ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah. What does Allah know, and how is His knowledge different to ours? And when we say Allah's knowledge, is it the same sense of knowledge that we have, the comprehension or rather the perception of knowledge that we have, is it the same one or is it different? And along the way, we will look at the verses, the words that Allah has used, and to explain the meaning of what Allah is trying to say, like is the normal practice, we shall look at other verses of the Holy Quran to understand the depth of exactly what Allah is trying to say in this verse. Ilm. And I will tend to use the Arabic words because the Quran is in Arabic, and I feel definition and description of Arabic will make more sense than trying to translate it literally in English, because the translated version will not give us the same definition or sense as the original Arabic will do. Ilm is divided, as we perceive in the human form, into ways. There is one that is called ilm huduri, and the second one is called ilm husuli. Ilm husuli is what would be translated in English as acquired knowledge. Everything that we know has been acquired. Ilm huduri is something that is inherently in us, that needs no teaching, that we know without being taught, without having to read from somewhere, without having to have learnt it from somewhere. That is called ilm huduri. Whereas ilm husuli is everything that is acquired from outside, whether it is by experience or by teaching or by reading or by learning, whatever it is. But it is something that is an abstract outside and we have acquired. Yet there is certain knowledge that is called ilm huduri, that you need no teaching and you will learn it instinctively. You will know it without having to even think about the process, how did I ever learn this? And you will see that to come to a very close example, it's not a perfect example, to give you an idea as to what is the difference between what is acquired and what is inherently what you know, instinctively you know, is that the difference between what somebody tells you and what you see for yourself. When you see for yourself, you have learnt, of course this is acquired again from sight, but it is different compared to a third person telling you. When Imam Ali al-Islam was saying in his khutbah, Saluni, saluni, qabla tafqiduni, ask me before you lose me. And people ask questions, all sorts of questions. And then one person stood up and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'min, how do you know all these things? Imam immediately asked him, how many fingers are there in your hands? How many fingers do you have in your hands? He said, fine. Imam said, did you have somebody teach you that? Did you look at your hand to ever count your fingers? You know you have five. Just the way that you know you have five fingers is exactly how we know what is there in the skies and on the earth. That is the kind of knowledge they have. Now, we are all subject to ilm-e-husuli. Everything we know is ilmi husuli. Whereas when it comes to knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of a'imma to some degree, right, to a large extent, is ilmi huduri. You see, if you remember the story where a person entering the class that our sixth holy Imam was running. Sixth holy Imam was running classes. How's that? Salam Shabbat. And in these classes, when this person enters, Imam calls him and says that, you know, we do not allow people in your state to come in. Because that person was in the state of janab. The Imam tells him, you go home, perform a ghusl and then come back. We do not allow people in your state in our houses. How did the Imam know that? That is not husuli. That is huduri, where the Imam has that power, where he can feel the vibes or the aura, whatever we call it. That is the kind of knowledge that the Imams had. That is the kind of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. That not all of us have. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He knows, how does He know? What does He know? Does He know at the end of the event? Does He know before the event? Does He know whilst the event is going on? As we perform these deeds, as we think of all these thoughts, does He know before we start thinking? Does He know whilst we are thinking? Does He know after we have finished our thoughts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, right? And there is a difference between these knowledges. There are stages of knowledge, and He has the highest of that stages of knowledge, as we call it. The levels of ilm, maratib al-ilm, as we call it. And the highest level, the highest martaba of ilm is that He knows even before He has created us exactly what we are going to think of God. That is His zat al-ilm, right? Now, to give you an example of the extent of what Allah knows as far as our lives are concerned, let's look at Surah Yunus, Surah Yunus, which is Surah number 10, verse number 61. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه. Look at the translation. Whatever state you are in, وما تكون من شأن, وَمَا تَتْلُوا مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ, whatever you recite from the Qur'an, وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ, and that you do not do anything, but إِلَّا كُنَّا عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا, we were a witness to what you were doing. إِذْ تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ, you were, you know, تُفِيضُونَ is like you're floating in it. Whatever you're doing, you are right in the middle of it. You are in the thick of what you do. Whatever you're doing, whatever your state is, Allah says, we are a witness to it. He just not only knows, He is a witness to it. To know is something separate. Ajay, I can tell you, I know what you did in your school, for example. But to be a witness to exactly what you're doing at every step is what Allah is clarifying in this verse. At every step of what you're doing, Allah is a witness to what you do. وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. There is nothing, even an atom weight, nothing smaller, nothing larger, except that He has it in a very clear book. فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. It's a very clear book. That means a book that contains everything that is ever going to happen by everybody possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says He knows, He not only knows, He is a witness to every act that you do.
What exactly does dhurratin mean?
Sorry?
Dhurratin.
Dhurratin is an atom. Dharra, you see, is an atom. It is also called in Arabic corn, you know, maize. It's also called dharra.
Just something very small.
Very small. Right? the atom in Arabic is called dhurra.
When Allah says it, or even something love, why would he need to say something greater as well? I just, is there a deeper meaning or something?
There is. Ayatollah Tabatabai has not mentioned the why Allah has said wala asghara wala akbara, why nothing smaller and why nothing bigger. I personally find that it is just out of eloquence that you say nothing bigger, nothing smaller. You know, you're like trying to negate ke, there's nothing. Nothing small, nothing big that has not been mentioned or that he does not know. So Allah's ilm is so much that he not only knows, he is witness to every single thing we do, right? Now, we go back to Ayatul Kursi. And we come to this word, wasi'a. Wasi'a is, what is the translation used? Wasi'a is to cover. Wasi'a kursiyu samawati wal ardh. That means to cover, right? But in the Holy Quran, wasi'a itself has been used to give three different kinds of meanings. Right? One is vastness, as in vast. Right? You say, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ardh Allahi wasi'a. The earth that Allah has created is so vast. So why don't you? Why don't you move around the earth and see? This is one. This is actually called makan. Makan is place. So vastness in space is what is meant, one meaning of wasya, and it has been used in the Holy Quran. The second meaning is used as in hal. That means in status rather. If a person has more than what Allah refers to in the Holy Quran is Si'a or Musa. That means somebody who has more has to give more. And specific reference is to wealth. That somebody who has to spend, if he has more, that means the status. Now it is not referring to vastness of earth, it is referring to vastness, abundance of resources. So somebody who has more money has to spend more money. If I give you the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran in Surah number 65, verse number 7. The first opening part of the verse says, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ. That's the same word. From the word wasya, right? So, the first meaning is space, the second meaning is status, and the third meaning is potential. Or rather, ability, yeah? When we say, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا, this is a verse that everybody should know by heart. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The same word, وسعها. وسعها, that means that only what it is able to do. لا يكلف الله نفسا. Allah will not enjoin on somebody, will not ordain on somebody to do something except what it can do. What it can't do, Allah will not ordain. Therefore, Allah will only ordain on somebody what it has the potential to do. So, one meaning of wasi'a is space, vastness. The other is status, again abundance. And the third meaning is the ability. Now, when Allah says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, which of the three meanings is used? The first one. The space. And why would you think it is space? You can't have a kursi that is so big, can you?
Ability.
Huh?
Maybe it means it's everywhere.
Ability. The potential. That his scope lies in the whole earth and the sky. You got to bear in mind that kursi is not the physical chair that I and you envisage the moment we hear chair. Kya chair chi kursi. It is not. Right? And we'll come to that just now. But we've got to first understand, it can't be vastness, because the vastness is the earth and the sky. Now he has the ability, that's what Allah is proving, that his ability to the scope of control, scope of knowledge or whatever kursi represents, right, is over everything. The skies, the earth and what lies there, right? So the meaning of wasya out of these three that is referred to in this particular verse is this: the potential, the ability, the range, the scope, you call it whatever it is. Are you with me? Shall we proceed?
Potential is a very latent thing. Potential,
I think it's not the right word.
It's not yet realized. It's waiting to
no,
be realized.
No, I think it's not the right word. You're right. The potential is not the right word. Let's eliminate, let's cancel the word potential. Rather the ability or scope, stroke range.
The reach.
Reach. Yes. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. What it can. What it can bear. That's the kind of meaning. Right? Whether it's ability, scope or range or reach. Right? But it lies, it has a sense of ability to be able to, right? Extent of that power. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Right. Before we go on to kursi, which is the key word here, we've got to understand samawat wal ard. What does samawat and ard mean? Does samawat and ard mean the literal seven skies or literal sky that we see? Does it have a separate meaning? There are two kinds. Again, everything is, you will notice, everything I say is two kinds. The ilm is of two kinds and so on, right? Samawat and ard. The earth and the skies. One is the physical that we see, and the other one would be metaphysical. Mind you, these divisions that come up are not something that the scholars have thought. To explain these things, just create another kind of creation. No. This is taken from the verses of the Holy Quran. That the verses of the Holy Quran at times refer to these things and at times refer to these things. And it is these things that help us tally the concepts that may appear conflicting in the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran you may find sometimes these are either contradictory, conflicting, or at times inexplicable. Okay, I can't explain this. How do I explain this? How do I come to terms with this? It's because we are only thinking along these lines. We are thinking along the physical lines only. We have to get out of this to think along these lines. And once we do that, then we will understand that when the Holy Quran talks of lawh, the Holy Quran talks of manba'ul wahi. You know what manba'ul wahi means? The spring from where revelation starts. The Holy Quran talks of Arsh. The Holy Quran talks of rising of A'mal. You know, when we pray, our prayers rise. Where do they go? All these have certain metaphysical existences that are beyond the understanding of our physical levels. But in physical levels, there are seven skies. That's the Quran says. There are seven skies, and out of that, our limited vision gives us access to only the first one.
So when we're talking about skies, this is not what we're talking about. For example, we landed a probe on Mars. That's still Earth. That's not
that's
Samawati.
That's still the first. Right. We're still in the first atmosphere.
So what
we have not even penetrated to the second sky.
Earth doesn't literally mean Earth. It means matter, or it means our universe.
Al-Ard is...
doesn't mean this planet.
It doesn't mean this, what we call the Earth.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't mean only this. It means where we can inhabit.
It can be the moon, can be Mars, can
it
be...
Although these are referred to as planets as well. In the Quran you have Kawakib. You know the word Kawakib, right? Let's look at the verses and understand that whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has physically created seven earths and seven skies, He says that in the Holy Quran, right? Seven skies. And although the number seven has not been attributed to earth, so we'll study a verse that says, just like the skies, that means seven earth. That is the physical existence. And in that, Allah says, we have decorated the first sky with lights. That means all the stars that we see is still the first sky. But when you look at these things, you know that there has to be other metaphysical existence. You go to study the narration of Mi'raj, that the Holy Prophet rose to these levels, and then he met Prophet Musa, for example, on the fifth level, or Prophet Isa on the fourth sky. These are not physical existences, these are metaphysical existences. Right? These are metaphysical stations, as we call it. And then you would, it will help us understand. Yeah, all this can exist in an existence that we probably cannot comprehend. It doesn't have to be planar or vertical. It just has to be an existence. Let's look at the verses first of all.
Metaphysical
at least suje. Khayalat nahi. But metaphysical at least ki am
ase.
Che paape ehsas na kar sake. With sense, five senses we can.
Is there anything in the hadith that says human beings will go above the first samawat? Will go beyond our samawat?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, there's something that says.
In our life, you mean?
Well, I don't know, in mine, in your life, but human
no,
beings.
We our existence immediately after death will go into metaphysical existence.
But nothing in our existence.
This world, you can. This is the beauty of it. In this world, what you read, I don't know if you people are interested in metaphysical sciences, like, you have astral projection, right? All these things exist and can be done. And these are the miracles that our imams have done. You know the famous solo hadith story of the imam, where people, companions of the Holy Prophet, were sitting in the mosque. The Prophet was not there. And these companions started, suddenly one said that last night Ali ibn Abi Talib was at my home for dinner. And immediately between them, somebody else stood up and said, he couldn't be at your home, he was at my home. And a third person said, but he could not have been at either of your homes because he was at my home. And so on. And there was an uproar between companions that why are so many people lying? How could Ali have been at everybody's home? Then the Holy Prophet came. So they asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, we are all arguing amongst ourselves. Each one of us claims that Ali was at my home. And the Holy Prophet said that Ali was at my home. And Jibreel comes to him. And the Holy Prophet tells Jibreel, these people are arguing. And Jibreel says, Ya Rasulullah, Ali was with us. Now, this is an authentic hadith. where the scholars have tried to explain that it is possible for a person to live in metaphysical sense. If you look at the science of astral projection, it's the same thing. The way it is possible with the powers that Allah gives. When Allah gives the powers to Imams, they can do this kind of thing. And certain powers granted to even Awliya, by Awliya I mean only those chosen close companions of the Holy Prophet and the Imams, that they are able to accomplish such feats. But that's a metaphysical world. We have to come to terms with one thing, and this is my aim. In these classes we have learned something at least. To buy beyond the banal existence that is around us. This earthly existence that is around us, that is one plane of existence. Let's rise above that, let's look out. To buy, there are other kinds of existences around us. And how we get them, whether we will or not, is altogether another story. But at least we have to come to terms that there does exist. It will help us understand these concepts in the Quran. It will help us understand the stories and the miracles that we hear from the Holy Prophet and the Imams. And above all, it will help us appreciate the status of the Imams and the Awliya. Abhishek, look, I remember talking, you know, we got to a state where we say, Kibana Fagarish. Let's be honest. Shamatic, because in our own minds we have not come to terms. We have not understood the true, the concepts. These things exist. They're in the Holy Quran with full evidence. Then you begin to understand. We are just that floating at that one existence. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, that's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَتَعْزَمُ أَنَّكَ جُرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَ مَنْ طَوَلْ عَلَمٌ, that you think that you are just a small, insignificant being in this earth, when in you lies the power of this whole world. In you lie the powers of this whole world. You can do so much in this world, you can accomplish so much, that we have not even begun to comprehend how much we can. We get obsessed and occupied by what is happening around us in this world. We try to, become obsessed and occupied by these things. We don't have time to get out of this rut and see what is up. When I say up, I don't mean up as in up here. I mean beyond this existence. That is the spirituality that I wish to target. Okay, let's look at the verses. To understand these two existences, 41:11 and 12, فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَأَوْحَى فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحٍ وَحِفْظَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And he made them into seven skies in 2 days. We're not talking of the concept of the 2 days here, please. Yeah, we'll get to that concept later, because you have 2 days, you have 6 days.
Why is there a need to mention time period at all?
It could go up both ways, ne? It could say,
if we say time is it's nothing to do with God at all. Why would?
But it's like.
I mean, we know it's not days. It's two periods.
Exactly, two periods. Because that's why I'm saying I don't want to go into it right now, because I need to study this further to find out. Okay, yawmain jiche, 2 days, 6 days, and then he rested after the creation. We'll look at that all together.
One reason that I'm thinking that he mentions it is that it may be possible in the future for us to figure out that, hey, look, this was done in two sections or two periods, and then that will verify this. Maybe someday in the future.
Inshallah.
possible. I mean, that could be otherwise.
There are so many possible explanations. It could be just to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the powers to create everything within 2 days. But then we know that Allah could create it within...
No, it's too clear. For example, we know that this world Allah has created has taken billions of years in our times. So it could be billions of years, it's no big deal. You know, it doesn't... That 2 days doesn't mean anything anymore.
Let's not venture into it now, if you don't mind. I would rather I read more what Atlas the Baitabai says and then discuss.
Seven heavens,
the sky is translation ma. Right? There is the sky, samawat is sky. There is nothing like, okay, sky is suchi. You see, in English, what is the sky? Tell me, is there anything up there?
Yeah.
Sky is just open space. Right? But sama is what we know customarily as sky. Right? Whatever is out there, that open space, that is up to today by science endless, isn't it? Right? That is still the first sky. And anything above this earth is sky. Now, heavens, kamani kya thi hai? That's the English version. Now, I have a feeling it has been brought in from the Bible. The translation is heavenly figures, heavenly bodies.
Heavens means like everything. Skies, planets, stars, badu.
Everything.
That's like heavens.
Heavens, whatever. But you cannot think of it, paradise. Is that not heaven?
Well, in those days they thought that that was the same thing.
Ah, possibly. You see, this is what I say. Okay, the English translation has been borrowed from something else. As sama is sky. Samawat are skies. Right? This verse says, فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ samawat. Allah decreed there are seven skies. So He created seven of them.
How do we know it's metaphysical or physical?
These are physical.
But when it comes to metaphysical, how do we know?
We'll come to the verses. We'll come to the verses that show that there are metaphysical and not physical. Right?
You said that when the Prophet went from Iraq, on the fourth sky he met Nabi Isa.
Just about to mention
some
other.
When the Prophet went to Miraj.
Yeah.
On his way he met Nabi Isa.
Yeah.
On the fourth sky.
The fourth sky.
Yeah.
For physical check and metaphysical check.
Heaven or sky?
Can I come to that?
Is he in heaven or in the skies?
No, I think you're mixing up terminology. As far as Arabic is concerned, the terminology is the same. Sama. The English terminology is confusing. Okay, heaven che to jannat che. He was not in jannat.
Could it be that if we use the word skies and heavens, there's so much baggage loaded up because of what we already think what it means. That these are not the meanings at all. We're talking about maybe dimensions.
It could be something.
No, I mean, dimensions is a very loose word. It doesn't mean Star Trek. Dimensions means not here, somewhere else. I mean, this is our first dimension. This is all we know.
It could be altogether another station. Another existence altogether.
Okay. I bit out of the Christian Jannat, the Jahannam. Heaven, paradise, ये क्या लाच?
नहीं जरा नहीं।
तो पश्चिम आते नहीं। अकेले तफसीरी नमूना मत तो आज तफसीरी बदी जुदी करें चे।
नहीं आ तफसीर तो ओलू छे सुस सब आसमावात इले आ this is actual, this is physical. कि Allah has created seven skies. And he says, Allah says in this particular verse.
मेरा बयान मार के से कि एक पश्चिम एक आसमान मार गया।
आसमान। सात आसमान मार।
सात आसमान।
Right?
No, after that, because the Asudi.
Kaaba Kausain ya Adna.
So, this place is where? Kaaba Kausain Asudi?
Physical. Right. Let's look at this verse. Let's carry on. Seven skies. But Allah says, وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا. That what we have done is we have decorated the sky of this earth. That whatever we see out here is the sky only relative to this earth, to be masabih. Masabih are lights. Right? Wahifda. Hifda is protection. Right? ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. Now, this is about the physical creation. Let's look at another verse. 65:12 Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawati wa min al-ard
ومن الأرض مثلهن. Right? What has been translated as?
As many?
Earths. And the Jameen Dane is seven earths.
Several.
Several came to you. I want to say, I want to say,
this one is seven.
Supposed to be seven, isn't it?
This one says seven.
That one says seven. This one says several.
No, this one doesn't say that. This one says
seven. Kishina?
No, seven heavens and of the earth.
Similar.
No, and what min al ardi,
and of the earth, mithlahunna,
like unto them, something like them.
Similar, and similarly, like you would say, he created seven skies and similarly earth, right? That means seven earths.
Doesn't mean seven earths. Doesn't say seven. Doesn't come to mean seven earths, does it? He created seven heavens.
It doesn't say sab'a al ardi. No.
Seven.
And in the earth, like them.
And not in the earth.
Mithlahunna,
etle everything. And
a Jew.
Kena Jew. Jew itna saat asman banewa chhe, Jew itna saat jameen banewa. That's what it
means. Does he say saat jameen? Or maybe he made the one jameen the same way he made the
No, he doesn't say seven skies. There is nowhere in the Holy Quran, seven earths, sorry. There is nowhere in the Holy Quran you will find the word seven going with earth. Right? In fact, you will not find the Holy Quran ever mentioning the plural of Ard, which is Ardun, or Arab, right? You will not find. This verse says that the way Allah has created seven skies, He has created similarly earth. Right? وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ. Now, مِثْلَهُنَّ is like the skies. As in, it's seven different skies. Similarly, earth. Now, what you find is in dua of Ahlul Bayt, you find sab'a samawatin wa sab'a aradun. The plural of ard, aradun, comes from the dua of Ahlul Bayt. This is the verse that shows that even earth, there are many, like skies, there are seven. Similarly, earth, there are seven.
This is matter.
Seven earths.
But we just agreed that earth doesn't mean this jamin. Earth means all these other jamins that we can know.
Where we can inhabit, we don't know. You see, our earth, this is just our earth. And earth is the name we have given to this planet. You see, ard at least. You've got to understand that. Ard is land. This land is called ard in Arabic. Right? We have given in English the name to this planet as earth and translated the ard as earth. Right? So this planet in Arabic is called Al-Ard, but Al-Ard is also the land, Jameen, capital. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ki saat jameen ho badeh chhe, saat jameen ho a ek chhe. Is it planets?
Solar system.
Planets are
called? It's solar system.
No. Solar system akela planets.
If we come back to Earth,
well, it could be as many.
If we talk about the planets that we have, the stars, the galaxies, and all these, we're still in Earth. We haven't even gone to Samawat yet.
Yes, the sky.
No, this is, Samawat doesn't mean sky. Samawat means something much more than that.
No, you said you lit up the sky. I
mean, we are still, you see, we are still under one alu. Right? What Safra is trying to get at? Let's try and understand what he's saying, yeah? And this is a possibility, a very clear possibility. We are in this system. Right, which has so many galaxies and so many solar systems within the galaxies and so on, Milky Ways and so on, right? We probably infinite to us, but finite to Allah. Right? And here, small earth, to us, we are still in one sky. وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِحِ. Now, what
Safar is saying that if there are other skies, say, you know, you have other skies, physical, not talking of metaphysical,
we're talking of physical.
If there are other skies, then there also there may be something similar as us. And they have their own system. It may be the same, similar system, it may be a different system. It may be a very small creation. That is in the hands of Allah. We have no access to it. We are responsible for our own system only. We are responsible, as far as we are concerned, we will be judged by what we know, what we see now, today. And that is why we look at what is relative to us inwards, not outwards. We understand, try and understand our system. But our system has got nothing to do with us. The second sky, third sky, as far as the matter, the physical is concerned, it's got nothing to do with us. Cigarette, right?
Does this all show that there is life on other planets?
There is life in other planets or not. What do you think?
But according to this, it should be.
There should be. According to this, well, there should be. Does this prove?
Doesn't exclude.
Does this prove that there is
life? No.
For your information, hadith ma chhe ke there is life in other planets.
There is
other life in other worlds.
But I
can't remember
which one.
That's how
much. There is one ayat in the Quran which says.
Kaya ayat?
One ayat.
Homework, next time when I go to dish.
But what would you say? Do you think this ayat does imply that there is life?
No. Because earth doesn't mean there has to be life. You've got to understand that. Earth is land, true. But does not mean it has to have life. Right?
Oh, my sorry.
Right.
Can we clarify, in his commentary he says Saba is used to say seven or more, several or many.
That is one view of looking at things. Ayatullah Tabatabai disagrees.
He disagrees
with this. You see, at Tafsir Shia, there is a certain method of saying, of looking at things. Seven is not a fixed number. Seven is a number to denote many or several, right? But Ayatullah Tabatabai disagrees with the simple reason that Sab'a is such a small number, it cannot denote several or many.
And Allah used bigger numbers in the Quran before.
He could have used.
But he has already. He used bigger numbers.
Bigger numbers. He could. He has already in other parts. Jesus.
He says in his verse that through all of them descends his command. Through all of the seven skies descends Allah's command. Now, doesn't that suggest that each sky encapsulates the other sky? Is that as opposed to seven different independent heavens?
You mean concurrent circles, like
no, hierarchical?
Coming down.
If he says that his command descends through them all.
يَتَنَزَّلُ. You see, this is why when I come to the metaphysical stage, you have to understand. What you are saying, Zainabas, is something like this, yeah? And then it is going down. Right? And it comes to our first step. It's possible.
I'm saying that the nine planets, is constant.
No,
nope.
I don't say that. You say that. Nine planets are one solar system. One solar system in one galaxy. In one galaxy in one Milky Way. You know what you're talking about out there? We are still looking at the first sky only.
Yeah, so this is first sky.
Absolutely. This is Masabih. Zayyanna Sama'a Dunya. So wherever you can reach with your binoculars, with telescopes, you're still looking at Sama'a Dunya. Because Zayyanna Sama'a Dunya bi Masabih. There is no limit to Sama'a Dunya.
This one sky is only the sky that's lit it up, yeah? This is the only sky that's been lit it up.
No, this is the second sky that God has not opened in the Quran. What is the Quran? The second sky that is Sayyanna Sama' al-Akhira ke Sama' al-Kuja Sama'. Now,
Surah Baqarah, ayat 29. He mentions that he created the earth first, and then made the heavens, specifying one earth. And if you look at ayat 29,
Surah Baqarah, okay?
29.
So the three of our dimensions, this is 10, it doesn't have to be 10, and this is 10 dimensions, or 26 dimensions, but I'm not sure which.
هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات. He is the one who created for you everything on the earth and then made the seven heavens, right, or seven skies. So that does not negate the creation of other earths and other skies.
Must have made it after that.
That there is no chronology. ये साथे की साथे बने हुए हैं, right? It's just the existence, you see. That's what we read. Okay. Verse 54, 11. Let's look at these verses, please. 54, 11. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ. And we opened the doors of the sky with water, right?
With water.
Now, that means this is a metaphor. Whenever it rains, it's like the door opening from the sky. Clouds, we know clouds what they are, but it's like a door opening for rain to come in, right? This is an expression metaphorically, that Khuda says that the asman ma chi darwaja khuli ane wasat kare, right? On the same token, look at Surah number 7, verse 40. Surah number 7, verse 40. What does this verse say? The verse says, those who disbelieve, or those who have belied our signs and are arrogant, for them the doors of the skies or the heaven shall not be opened. 7:40. Now the question is, ek baju kisi ke darwajo khuli hai ne pani pade chhe. The other side, Allah is saying ke darwajo khul se nahi. Right? What do you understand by abwab as-sama? And are these two the same doors that Allah is talking about? Can these be the same? When we know that the rain that comes down on people who belie His signs, on people who are arrogant, and the same doors open from the sky for the rain to come, right? Yet here he says, the doors of the sky shall not be opened. This is why I say, to be able to tally between two verses that may seem contradicting or conflicting each other, there has to be an explanation. And the only explanation is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to those who belie our signs and those who are arrogant, for them the doors of sky will not be open. Meaning, when their dua comes up, when their deeds come up, however good their deeds are, but because they belie my signs, because they are arrogant, what they do will not rise up to me. And when it won't rise, meaning that those doors will be closed. How is so much better? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the explanation that tafsir gives, Ayatullah Tabatabai gives, is that there is this use of words in the Holy Quran that indicates that when Allah talks of sama, there is a physical sama, and there is that metaphysical sama where things are happening. Amals are going up, our prayers are going up, and the doors will be closed for those who belie, for those who are arrogant, but for those who are believers, the doors will open. And this is where the angels will move around with our deeds and with our actions. And that is the metaphysical stage that we are talking about. Right? So for every existence that we have of the skies, get the physical one, there is that level of height, that high level of metaphysical existence. Right. Any questions before I go ahead? Because we now have to do Kursi and Arsh. And in Kursi and Arsh, something that will take up so much time. But I need to explain in the Holy Quran, when verses talk about Allah, there are two kinds of verses. There are verses that talk of tashbih. Tashbih is to similar or resemble, yeah? Verses that say, for example, Yadullah fawqa aydihim. Quran. Yadullah, that means hand. You have kursi, that means chair. You have arsh, that means throne. You have sami', that means ear. You have basir, that means eye. All these things are trying to make it similar or resemble to something we understand. Right? Something that indicate that Allah has a body. Why will Allah say Yadullah fawqa aydihim? Quran understand. Second thing. Why would Allah say wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard? Why would Allah say ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arsh istawa? Istawa 'ala al-'arsh, that means he relaxed on the throne. These are all verses that give him a form resembling to our form, our comprehension, our perception of an existence, a bodily existence, right? There are verses in the Holy Quran. And at the same time, there are verses in the Holy Quran that are called ayatul tanzih. Tanzih would be strip off or unite. So for example, you have verses that say, Allah is not a zalim, right? Allah is not a jahil, not a zalim, right? Not a jahil. These are denying these attributes to Allah. Right? So you have two ways of describing Allah. One is to resemble him with certain things that indicate that he has a body. One is denying or stripping him of these qualities that cannot be him. I take you back to the initial study that we did of Muhkamat and Mutashabihat. If you remember Muhkamat and Mutashabihat, Muhkamat are the ones that rule, that are decisive verses, that will decide on any conflicting verses that may come up later, any ambiguous, any confusing verses. All you have to do is to go back to a verse that is a ruling verse, a muhkamah, right? And as far as description of Allah is concerned, there is one verse that is muhkamah, that is Ummul Muhkamah, the mother of all ruling verses, which says, Laysa kamithlihi. What does this mean? Laysa kamithlihi shay. That means that there is nothing like him. Laysa kamithlihi shay. So when you come to Yad, when you come to Kursi, when you come to Arsh, when you come to Sami', when you come to Basir, these are verses that indicate that he has some kind of form. Yet there is a verse that says, Laysa kamithlihi shay. Therefore, this will first negate the concept that builds up, the perception that builds up here. And then you find answers to this. Have we asked you?
They don't necessarily have to indicate any form. They could just be describing his powers. We say the long arm of the law.
But why would you go? No, remember that rule. That apparent meaning of the verse is an evidence until you have something to denote it. Are you with me? Right? When a verse talks of something,
that apparent meaning of the word used will be applicable until you have an evidence to prove otherwise. And this is the evidence used to negate all these effects. Then you go from there. Because this verse rules over these verses, therefore now, what does Allah mean by kursi? What does Allah mean by arsh? We have certain pre-concept of arsh. We know what arsh is. We're talking about a throne. We know what a kursi is. Kursi is a chair. But since Allah, there is nothing that resembles Him. There is nothing like Him. Therefore, it cannot be a kursi like this one. It cannot be an arsh like the throne. Then we go on to the next step of finding out. Therefore, if it cannot be like that, what is it? Right? So remember these rules. These are basic, simple rules. And that the reason why every time you ask and you know what has happened, right? I'll give you the example of kursi and arsh. Kursi and arsh in hadith are two aspects of ilm of Allah. Last time, if you remember, me and Abbas were discussing what is qudra and what is ilm. One is qudra and one is ilm. Arsh, he said, was ilm, and kursi was qudra, and I was saying, no, it is the other way around. In fact, we were both wrong. Actually, kursi and arsh in the Holy Quran is referred to ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both. Unlike different levels, different stages of knowledge. Maratib, that is different extent and different levels of knowledge. Arsh is ilmullah, kursi is ilmullah. And you've got to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all His creation. And then from His arsh, I'm giving you the gist, the bottom line of the definition of arsh. Because we understand arsh, we understand kursi. There is a similarity in even the word, the meaning of the word. Arsh is a throne, kursi is a chair. Right? Arsh is a throne referring to the sovereignty of the ruler, that this is his throne, he rules from that chair. Right? Arsh is the throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once He created this earth and the skies and everything that there is in, He sat back on the earth doing what? Wa ar-Rahmanu 'ala al-'arsh istawa. We just saw this verse. That after He created this, after He created the earth and the skies, He sat back on the throne. He tried to physically imagine, which is human nature, huh? Human nature, they are saying, oh, okay, but I did a machine. He took a step backwards, went to His throne and sat down. Right? This is how we would envision it. Right? There is a similarity in how we envisage it and what Allah is trying to tell us. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us, that is what He did. Not that physically He moved and sat on a chair. What He did was that after creating this, there is an important message on the arsh. Let's look at the verses of the Holy Quran that say what is arsh. The Holy Quran talks about arsh. If you look at arsh, the meaning of arsh, Surah Yunus, verse number 3. Surah Yunus is Surah number 10. Verse number 10. Surah number 10, verse number
3.
6 days, 2 days. 2 days on the
sky.
I'm a sky near earth.
So it's 4 days.
You know the classic question is, so 2 days earth, so 2 days sky. Have you ever used that?
Design.
It's a classic.
Design.
Design. Design. Design. Various jamming, various
asthma.
Yeah, various.
Design.
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 Design. Design.
Architect.
Marketing. Like I say, I will discuss that later. Right. Now, look at the verse. Inna rabbakum allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fi sittati ayyam. Allah is your Lord who created the skies and the earth in 6 days.
ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then resigned to the throne. Resigned to say, what has it been translated as?
Firmly established.
Relax.
Firmly established.
Stawa ala al-arsh. Firmly established what? The throne.
Yeah,
on the throne.
On the throne.
On the throne. So he firmly established. Yudabbirul amr. This is the point. The arsh is yudabbirul amr. Now what is amr?
These things that he created. He created the skies. He created the earth. He went back to the throne, or he resigned to the throne. Yudabbir al-amr, now to control the movements of what will happen. Okay? Now the interesting part, this is the most interesting point, that amr is singular. Yudabbir al-amr, amr is singular. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَاحِدًا. That our command is only one. So he issues only one command from the arsh. The angels, and again the Quran talks about the angels who walk around the arsh, who go around the arsh, collecting orders, that what is amr of Allah, as they come into this system to execute the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that in the nitty-gritty of how to get to what Allah wants, there are so many now in the system of, you know, cause and effect, and one cause, and two causes, and three effects, and so on. Then it is generated into a whole chain of causes and effects to get to the result, in line with what Allah has commanded. This is how the system works. So when we say, okay, Allah does not interfere in the system, Allah issues this command. And to get to this command, by the time it comes here, it's generated into so many different secondary chains of causes and effects that are carried out by the agents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mind you, I am saying this is the picture that has been developed by Mufassirin after studying the verses of the Holy Quran. There is proof of the Holy Quran. Now, to just give you an example before I come to answer the question, just to give you an example, it's a classic example that Ayatollah Tabatabai gives. He says, in a country of 50 million people, Britain, right? In a country, if there is a war, what happens? You have, for example, the commander, what do you call it?
Commander. He goes to retires to his bunker.
CNC, yeah? He declares status of war, for example. And he says, or rather the Queen, for example, says that it is incumbent on everybody to defend our country. What has happened? A command has been issued that we have to defend our country. Full stop. How do we defend it? Every ministry will then go. The Ministry of Defense, the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Human Resources, the Army, will all look to implementing this command, which is we have to defend our country in their own respective manner. The Army will mobilize their recruits. The Ministry of Finance will suddenly use all the budgets and start channeling funds towards the army so that they have enough money to be able to fulfill the command. And the command is only one, to defend the country. You see, we are looking at a country. You look at, for example, the principal of a madrasa. I had that example in mind because I thought Abbas would be here, but Abbas is not here. Principal of a madrasa, in a meeting of all the chiefs, for example, all the heads of department, he says that we want to have exams on this day. Period. We've decided. They all agree. The command has been issued. Now, who will mobilize which department teachers to write papers, to collect questions, to get all that to fit with one command? The exams will take place on this day.
That is how the system of Allah works. Allah issues these commands from the arsh. The arsh is the place where commands are issued. The angels take these commands, enter into the system that Allah has created, and then execution of the command takes place, all working towards accomplishing that one command of Allah.
So is this arsh actually a physical place, a dimension or a samawat?
I'll come to that. Because there are different views by different scholars.
The other thing you're saying is Allah issues His command from the arsh. That means He doesn't issue it from here or from somewhere else. That means we've confined it.
We are confined. We are.
We're confining Allah.
But we are confining the arsh in the place from where the commands come. Not in relation to Allah, in relation to the angels who come into it. Got to understand. Right? They have to come to a certain spot.
But here it says Allah withdrew. Allah, how can you withdraw?
Huh?
You say Allah withdrew to the arsh.
Withdrew to the arsh. That does not mean here Allah took a step back. Like I said, physically it gives you immediately the concept that Allah took a step back.
Yeah.
Right? And relaxed on the throne. What Allah is saying, from the arsh the commands will be issued. The angels, Mudabbirat Amra. Allah talks about the Holy Quran, in the Holy Quran of the angels. Every action and reaction that we have on this system, on this earth, right, is a system that Allah has created, is a procedure that is carried forward and executed by angels. This system that we take for granted of cause and effect, system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the angels to exist. So we don't say that Allah has resigned as it has given up. Allah created that, and now from His arsh there is these commands that come out. And these commands that go down, as they come down, from arsh into the sky of this world, as they come down, is channeled through and it increases. Like you saw, how it increases. Right? It increases as it goes down. And as it goes down, all the time towards one and one only amr from Allah. وَمَا أَمْرُنَا إِلَّا وَحْدٌ.
Where does the kursi fit in this model?
Or just,
where does the kursi fit in this model?
Where does the?
Kursi, the chair.
Kursi, the arsh. Abhi arsh na
kursi. It doesn't fit in this model.
No, arsh ne, we are explaining arsh, we'll come to kursi later, right? Arsh and kursi are similar in that they are two aspects of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu. Right? And I don't want to come to that yet.
But one is higher than the other. The arsh is higher.
Arsh may be higher than kursi, or kursi may be higher than arsh. I really don't want to comment right now.
Haad nahi teji.
Can you?
Haad. Khuda ne.
Nahi.
Kya yani kamal kar sakta haad teji. Jo sifat e salbiya ne andar.
You see, haad kya teji? Haad kya waste teji? Khuda waste teji. Malaika waste teji. Ke malaika આવીને એક જગાથી હુકમ લેશે. ક્યાં જોવા લેશે? જે જગાથી હુકમ લેશે એ તો હદ છે. બરાબર? પણ એ ખુદાની હદ નથી. દેટ ઇઝ ધી અન્ડરસ્ટેન્ડિંગ. કે હદ છે બરાબર છે કે એમાંથી હુકમ આવે છે, પણ એ ખુદાની હદ નથી. એ જ્યાંથી હુકમ મળે છે એ મલાઈકાની હદ છે કે અહીંયા સુધી પહોંચીને હુકમ લઈને જાશે. મલાઈકા મખલુક છે,
ખુદાની હદ નથી.
That is how ulama have explained that arsh ki khudani hai, throne of Allah is where angels are moving around to receive orders. Of course, orders, giving knowledge is all about innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yakuna lahu kun fayakun. But Allah has created a system in which He does not have direct contact with that. Even within angels there is a hierarchy. His message will be transmitted to other angels through only trustworthy like So that hierarchy is maintained, and then as it goes from here to here, it then spreads out to other angels and then to the system in which we live. Any questions?
કુર્સી વાસ્તે સુધી ઉપર આપી દો છે.
when you come to things like Arsh.
Can I ask you one question? You're saying that Arsh is ilm of Allah. But how can we, are we talking about ilm or are we talking about some physical place? On the one hand, it's a physical place, malaika go there to receive their commands. But then we're saying it's ilm, and Allah's ilm is not physical.
Arsh is not physical. Arsh is a spot where malaika receive their orders.
A physical location. I mean, it's not in our samawat, it's another samawat, or maybe higher than that. But it's something physical, right? It's not a metaphor.
Let me just explain what the different mufassirin have said over history. Over history, first, there have been two extremes. One extreme has said, for example, okay, when you come to talking about things like Arsh and Yad of Allah and Jism of Allah, body and all these things, stop and don't ask questions. They have even ruled that asking questions would be bid'ah and haram, right? These is a certain, quarters of Muslim schools, mainly Sunnis, which we do not subscribe to at all. There have been the other extreme, where just by reciting these verses and neglecting that particular verse, which is the mother of all ruling verses, Umm al-Muhkamat, they have said, "Kenai bhai, Allah has a body. And we will see Allah on the Day of Judgment. Wujuhun yawmaidin ilayhi nadir." That we will see Him on the Day of Judgment. This school of thought up to today, very active, and majority of the Sunnis believe that they will see Allah in a body form on the Day of Judgment. Right? And the traditionally riwayat of Sahih Bukhari, you know, these are typical ahadith of people who believe that Allah has a body, and stemming from this belief, they have then fabricated, exaggerated to the extent that these ahadith in Sahih Bukhari up to today, you can refer Sahih Bukhari and find these ahadith. For example, on the Day of Judgment, when the Jahannam will cry out, "Hal min mazid," which the Quran says, the Quran says Allah will address the Jahannam and say, "Hal imtala'ti fataqulu hal min mazid." Jahannam will reply, "Are there any more?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, "Oh, have nathi bija." So Sukar say, "Pag, jamno pag lene," Jahannam manak. Put his right leg, right foot in Jahannam, and Jahannam will say, "Ah, bas, now I am full." This is in Sahih Bukhari. Or they say in Sahih Bukhari, ke on Thursday night, every Thursday night, Allah comes down on a black donkey to receive a'mals from people. Now, this is the other school of thought, that they picked up on these verses and forgot that ruling verse, that Allah, there cannot be anything like Him. So you have two extremes. And then you have, from the Shias, of course, these two extremes are within the Sunnis, One, not encourage asking and say, in fact, asking questions is haram. And the other said, "Ha, Allah is a jism, forget everything else."
Wahhabi
no yaqidushi.
Which one? The bidat one?
Wahhabi lokona to khas akidushi.
Ah.
Kim Ayatullah Muhsin Hakim, Wahhabi na la bin Baz sati jabro gera ta, ke tami abidu kyo cho ke khuda ne jism che ne aya, to ye Quran ma che. Yadullah fauqa aydi. Khuda no hat che. Ayatullah Muhsin al-Hakim argued with Bin Baz. Bin Baz was the one who died recently in Saudi Arabia, chief of Wahhabis. Ayatullah Muhsin al-Hakim argued with him, "Look, you are going by the superfluid apparent meanings of the Quran. The Quran has difficult, deeper meaning." And he says, "No, we rule by zawahir, you know zawahir, the apparent meanings." So Ayatullah Muhsin al-Hakim then told him, "Bin Baz, if that is the case, then I can say from the Quran, prove it, that you are going into Jahannam." He said, because Bin Baz was blind, and the Quran says that whoever is blind on this earth will be blind in the hereafter. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. Surah Taha.
We've heard that story.
You've heard
it? We have never heard the reply.
No, you've not heard this reply.
What did he reply?
He just...
He must have said something.
Yeah. I don't think
he did. It enter his head or didn't go in?
He was blind, so he was
Allah
blind.
Allah blind.
He
was
blind.
He was blind.
What do Shia scholars say? Again, Shia scholars mainly have maintained. Kaki eloquent Shia scholars ma akhabar che ki khuda ne koi jism nahi. God does not have a body. Okay, we will never see Allah, never, not in this world, not in the hereafter. What most of the Shia scholars have done is that they say that everything Allah has described in the form of a bodily part is in fact denoting a function of that bodily part. So when you have Yadullah fawqa aydihim, then this hand is a symbol of power and control. If you have throne, then that throne is a symbol of sovereignty and rule. If you have kursi, then that chair is for ruling and watching over. You know all these things. If you have sam'a, that means listening, the power of listening is which Allah has, not the ear, not the eyes to look, right? So they have come to the conclusion that all these are metaphors to symbolize the function that lies behind these parts. This has been the continuous belief of majority of Shia scholars, and a plausible one too, I must say. I am convinced by that particular thought, school of thought. But Ayatollah Tabatabai goes one step further and he says, fine, agreed. But he said, what is stopping there from being even a physical existence to certain things, if not all? So when you talk of qalam, when you talk of lawh, you know lawh mahfud, an iron tablet for example, right, that is preserved, in which has been written everything that is going to happen, right? That law, is that a tablet, physical existence, or just something that Allah knows? When you talk of arsh, is that throne a physical existence, or just, as we were saying, a place where, you know, the orders are issued? Ayatollah Tabatabai goes to a certain extent that certain things like yad and sam' and basar, like, you know, the hand and the ear and the eyes, these agreed, these are metaphorical and these are to symbolize the functions behind the bodily parts. But there are certain things, there is nothing wrong in thinking that there might be a physical existence, something very different from what we comprehend. When we think of arsh, we think of a huge throne and a seat. It may be something totally different. But there might be something in physical existence. Wallahu a'lam.
But before you said it's Allah's ilm, I don't understand how the two get together.
Sorry?
You said that arsh and kursi denote Allah's ilm. How does that make sense with the physical existence? It's either one or the other. How can it be both?
How does it tie it with the command center, you mean?
That's what I'm saying.
The ilm.
Allah's ilm is everything.
Yeah?
But when you said that kursi was Allah's ilm, what were you talking about? When you said arsh was Allah's ilm, what were you talking about?
Arsh is also Allah's ilm, yes.
What do you mean?
I mean it is only because he knows everything that he issues commands. Do this, do that.
Is kursi and arsh the same thing? Or two views of the same thing? Were they two different things?
They're two different things. They're two different levels of the same thing.
Same
thing. Two different extents.
Of the same thing.
Baban. Right? Two different aspects. Two different levels,
right,
of knowledge of Allah. Knowledge of Allah Shane has got. We are venturing into something very on thin ice, as we called it last time. Yeah? Ilm of Allah. Allah knows everything. Inherently. That. Right? But yet in the Quran we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is to test you so that we know whether you are a good person or a bad person. Check it out.
But that doesn't mean that. There was a madras about this which I think Safdarbhai gave. And he says Allah uses many terms for these trials and tests. But the one word he doesn't use is the word that's used in, let's say, in universities where people give you exams. Because that word Allah has never used in the Quran. Because when people give you exams, they want to know how much you know. But Allah doesn't need to know that. When He tests you, it's not for His benefit, it's for your benefit. Whatever test Allah gives you, the result is not for Him to know. He already knows. The result is for you to know.
You're talking of the test and imtihan.
Right.
We are talking of the word ilm, where Allah uses in the Quran that Allah cannot let you enter Jannah as long as He does not know whether you are a fighter or you are going to sit back and not fight. For example, وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنَ الصَّبِرِ مِنَ الْقَائِدِ. Right? Allah has yet to know. The literal word is Allah has yet to know whether you are amongst a mujahid, that is fighter, warrior, or you are amongst the qa'idin, that you will sit down and not fight. Levels of ilm. Khudana khabar shi. That is something else. Right? We're talking of a different level of existence of knowledge. And that is why I say, I'm venturing into very thin ground. This is very hollow. I don't want to go into it, please. Right?
Ilmullah.
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 Bas. Ahsanullah. Suffice it to say, that the link of Arsh being a command center and Arsh being Allah's ilm is that there cannot be a command center if Allah does not know. Allah has to know how to run the things. You see, we are trying to confine that knowledge to sujanish. There is no limit to Allah's knowledge. That command comes with His knowledge that how, what is going to happen. He knows everything. It gives us an insight. Things will still be hazy. Things will still not be very clear, please. Don't get the picture ki banaya, clear cut she bana. Movie mama koi nahi kaya, aam chas nahi pachi, aam chas nahi. Nahi dae, koi use nahi. It won't. It's a grey area, but I can assure you one thing. Ki after understanding this, we begin to appreciate the concepts that are explained in the Holy Quran. When Allah talks about the Arsh, when Allah talks about the ilm, when Allah talks about the kursi, we begin to understand. Allah is talking of these concepts more than just the physical perception of the throne of Jai. Right. With that, we come to the end of this session. I don't know whether I will be able to take this class next week or not, because I have a very busy week, time is of essence here, because it's not like you just come and talk. I need to prepare, right? So we have two options. Either we ask Abbas to take the class next week, or we skip next week for the week after, if you allow me that time. The choice is yours.
Ajay, time nothing money.
Time
nothing? No,
no.
We're finished.
Yeah, he's